Looking at the recent violent hurricanes and the earthquake in Mexico, people are saying that they are evidence of God's wrath. One evangelist blamed it on President Obama. But then they blame everything on President Obama. Some people are likening this to what Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 24 when he taught his disciples about the signs of the end of the age. That may very well be true. Jesus most certainly in foreknowledge could have spoken of this time. After all, he is God. He did not have to detail the whys or how it would happen, just that it would happen. You see, people like to blame everything on God, which then lets them off the hook for being responsible for how we have not cared well for God's earth. Amen. The earth that God gave humankind dominion over, to be a proper caretaker of and not an exploiter of. You know, there are consequences to everything that we do. Amen. Good and bad. Right. If we pollute God's earth and strip it of its resources, sooner or later we will have to reap the results. Right. And we cannot blame that on God. Right. What this shows us is the consequences of sin are far deeper than we imagine. Maybe that's why the Apostle Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 23. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, and hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we eagerly await for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. So not only do we long for our salvation to be made complete with the coming of the Lord Jesus, creation longs for redemption as well. Can God speak through all of this? Yes. God has always been speaking. Amen?
Amen.
God spoke most definitively through his son Jesus. Jesus showed us what God was like and revealed to us God's heart. That's why the Apostle John wrote in his Gospel, chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, saying, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world." Hear that.
Amen.
Amen. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God's greatest desire is to save us and not to punish us. So all those folks saying God's raining wrath down on us, don't pay any attention to that. There will come a time. Amen?
Come on. Come on.
Judgment day is coming.
Amen.
It's not here yet. Amen? Our scripture passages today give us two different portrayals of the character of God. The God who sends the storm and the God who rebukes the storm. One is an awe-inspiring and fearful picture. And the other is an awe-inspiring and comforting picture. And God is both. That is the mystery of grace wrapped up and revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus bore in his body the wrath of God while at the same time demonstrating to us the deep love and mercy of God. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, For God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. In 1 Kings chapter 18, the prophet Elijah had a showdown with Jezebel's 450 prophets of Baal. Ahab was king of the northern kingdom at that time. He married Jezebel, the daughter of King Ethbaal of Sidon, under whose influence he began to worship the Canaanite god of storm, Baal, forsaking the Lord. Jezebel tried to kill God's prophets and supported a large number of Baal's prophets in the royal palace. Not only did Ahab begin Baal worship, but Canaanite worship spread throughout the kingdom, leading the people of Israel away from God. Because of the sin of the people, the Lord withheld the rain for years, creating a drought in the land. In chapter 18, God calls the people back to himself in a demonstration of his power by raining lightning from heaven to consume Elijah's sacrifice, while Baal's prophets made fools of themselves, shrieking and cutting themselves in vain. Elijah's challenge demonstrated who the true God was and exposes Baal's prophets to be impotent and powerless. And afterwards, the people fall on their faces and worship the Lord, and God brought the rain.
Amen.
Now, throughout the Old Testament, the God of Israel is declared to be and is seen as the God of the storm. Thunder and other weather phenomena convey the power and the majesty of God. Idols fashioned with gold and wood and stone paled in comparison to the God whose power was displayed by all that he had created. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 12 through 14, the prophet, once again dealing with the idolatry of God's people, makes a contrast between pagan idols and the Lord, saying, But God made the earth by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom and stretched out the heavens by his understanding. When he thunders, the waters in the heavens roar. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Everyone is senseless and without knowledge. Every goldsmith is shamed by his idols. The images he makes are fraud. They have no breath in them. The power of Baal, the so-called god of storm, was shown to be a fraud that day on Mount Carmel when Jezebel's 450 prophets were put to the test. The image of the storm is a powerful one, as we are currently seeing played out before us today.
Amen.
It represents something that is larger than us, something that is life-threatening, something that we cannot control. And one of the things human beings fear the most is that of being out of control. Amen?
Amen.
We want to be in control.
Amen.
That's why people often resist change. American author Napoleon Hill, who was one of the earliest writers in the 21st century to produce personal success literature and wrote numerous books on success, wrote, "You are the master of your destiny. You can influence, direct, and control your own environment. You can make your life what you want it to be." Human beings pride themselves on being in control, but storms remind us that there are many things in life that we cannot control. They force us to look outside of ourselves and hopefully to look up to the one who is over and above the storm. While 1 Kings 18 paints for us a portrait of an awe-inspiring and fear-striking God, Matthew chapter 8 paints an awe-inspiring, fear-striking, but comforting portrayal of God. This time, God is not over and outside of the storm, raining down fire from heaven, striking fear into the hearts of those who had strayed away. This time, God is in the storm with his followers, rebuking the storm.
Amen.
Through this encounter, the disciples experience the God of the storm up close and personal. A few moments earlier, they had seen Jesus as someone much like them, asleep in the boat. Up until now, they've experienced the healing miracles and the powerful teaching of Jesus that drew large crowds wherever they went. But this was new territory. As Jewish believers, they knew the scriptures, and they had no doubts about who the God of the storm was. And he was in the boat with them, taking authority over the winds and the waves. And all they could say was, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him." What kind of man is this? One of my favorite childhood stories is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis. In it, there is a scene that captures the confusion that the disciples must have felt. In the book, Aslan, the great lion, who is a Christ figure in the book, is resurrected from the dead after being brutally killed by the evil witch in the place of a boy who had broken the law of Narnia. And just like Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary after the resurrection, Aslan appears to sisters Lucy and Susan, amazing them and filling them with joy. The three begin leaping and running with Aslan, and he says, "Catch me if you can," to the girls. They end up rolling and tossing and twined in Aslan's fur. And Lucy thinks to herself, if it was more like playing with a thunderstorm or a kitten. Again, the disciples ask themselves, what kind of man is this? Is Jesus man or is he God? Is he our friend, made of the same stuff as we are, walking beside us, struggling under the same weaknesses as us? Or is he enthroned above the heavens, all-powerful, awesome, fear-striking, and sovereign? The Bible's answer is yes. He is both. And that's where our hope lies. That's where the comfort comes from. The one who crafted the universe and holds it together also holds you and me in his heart and in his hand. He is not only above and beyond whatever storm may arrive in our lives, but he is with us in the storm, and with all power and authority, he at any moment can rebuke it.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
At any moment, bringing peace and calm. And when he chooses to let us ride out the storm, the good news is this: he is in the boat with us. Amen?
Amen?
So we have no reason to fear. We can say, as the writer of Psalm 46 said, God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake and the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, the Lord of hosts is with us. Not only is he with us, but he is within us.
Amen.
This is the mystery of grace. In Jesus Christ, there are two distinct natures. One is infinite, almighty, and eternal. And the other took on the limitations of our nature, became flesh, and lived among us. And there is no one else like him. And in this mystery, he is glorious. And we are his. Amen?
Amen.
Praise be to God. That's good news today. God never promised there wouldn't be storms. And the thing about storms is, a lot of times, they're unpredictable. They said that hurricane was going up the East Coast, so everybody went to the West Coast. Guess what? Storms on the West Coast. Amen? Though we can't predict the time a storm will come, our comfort and our assurance is knowing he's in the boat with us.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He's with us.
Praise be to God.
Praise be his
name. Let us pray. God, we thank you.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Because your love is just far greater than we can fathom. You have promised that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us. God, you said we're in your hand, and that nothing can pluck us from out of your hand. You promised, God, in your word, that you would work all things to our good. You never said everything was good, but you said that you'd work all things to our good, to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And God, you're so good, you even bless those who aren't even thinking about you. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Help us, God, to be so anchored in you that when a storm comes along our path, we look up to you. And we bask in your love and your goodness to bring us through, as you have always done and will always do. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.